Lewis Hamilton, who, of course, has now won on 30 different tracks. But you outlined some of the stats. Of course, you know, Hamilton is one of the greatest F1 drivers of all time. He has the most consecutive finishes in the points of 48. Second is Raikkonen at only 27. He has total races where he led every lap, start to finish, 23. Next closest is the late, great Ayrton Senna. He has a total distance of laps led is like 27,000 kilometers. Like, when you look at just what his career is, it's really been amazing. And the victory he had here this past weekend, like, it was very anticlimactic, but at the same time, extremely dominant.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, time-sensitive and an urgent win for Hamilton. I mean, obviously, he was well behind in the points behind Verstappen, closed the gap now. Two races left, so it's definitely going to come down to crunch time. But the really interesting thing is that, you know, right now Hamilton and Mercedes is really, you know, they've hit their stride. And, while it was a dominating performance in Qatar, they went back to an older engine for Hamilton. So they didn't have the engine that allowed him to finish, you know, 10 seconds ahead of Verstappen in Brazil. But that engine's going back here. And, where some of these stats came from is I was looking at where Hamilton and where Mercedes have done well on these brand new tracks. And, you know, they've really, really dominated, with the exception of the race that was run at Holland, at Zandvoort earlier this year. I mean, they pretty much won everything. So, you know, everything is really shifted towards Mercedes' favor. That being said, there's always the intangibles of, you know, mechanical issues, you know, weather, or somebody makes an aggressive move. I mean, you know, Verstappen has definitely shown that he's not afraid to try and take Hamilton out. So hopefully, you know, the boys will be able to play a little bit, and we'll see who comes out on top here in a couple of weeks.
So why is it that the Abu Dhabi reconfiguration favors Mercedes? Is it that there's more straightaways or less turns? Like, what is that?
Well, it's a combination. So they've reconfigured so much of that track. There's going to be a video we'll share here as we get closer to that race. But they've taken out a lot of the complex sections. So, you know, these tighter corners and chicanes, and they've turned them into wider, faster, sweeping corners. The advantage comes in that none of the teams have any data. And that's where, again, Mercedes has really done well, is in, you know, call 40% of the Abu Dhabi track is going to be brand new. Mercedes just seems to do well when they get into the unknown. And that's a track that Hamilton's done extremely well at over the years. So, you know, with the combination, you know, with this, with the rear wing, that Red Bull seems to be really, upset about, you know, this, what they call their spicy engine, and the unknown. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, there's still a question mark whether or not that Saudi Arabia, the track there in Jeddah, is going to be ready to go here. This weekend is off, but they really need to be finished here in the next week. And they're literally running 24 hours a day to try and get the track completed. So, nobody said that it's ready to go. There hasn't been any confirmation. They just say that they're hopeful. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens here.
Pretty interesting to see Fernando Alonso get his first podium in 104 races, 7 years, and he did it by going with the one-stop strategy when everyone else went with two, and it worked. And you could just tell, Colin, like, his reaction, like, you know, that was a big moment for him to get, like, he was a guy, of course, who'd been a world champion, and to go that many years and never be on the podium, you know, pretty big race for him.
Yeah, and those are the little things that happen throughout a race season that, you know, that I just love, that, you know, getting to see Alonso back on the podium. I've never really been a big fan of his, but, you know, I definitely envy his talent, and I can appreciate how great of a driver he is. You know, that probably won't happen again. We won't really see him in contention. I mean, you know, for those guys at Alpine, the mid-pack guys, I mean, if they're running in the top six, they're doing really, really well. Obviously, that was kind of a fluke to pull that off, because towards the end of the race, like, he was really close to being caught by Perez. If it wasn't for the virtual safety car, he probably would have been a lot closer. If Bottas hadn't blown his tire, he should have been in contention for a podium. But, you know, those are the things that happen, and that's what makes racing great, is you just never, ever really know what's going to happen until the checker flag falls.
Talking all things racing for the Cantorque Race Report with Colleen Livingston. This is TSN 1260 on the Jason Greger Show, and I'm Jason Strudwick. Colin, 24 hours of Sebring. Why did it make this such a challenging setup for all the various kinds of classes of racers?
Well, yeah, this past weekend, there is a 24-hour series. So this is something that primarily runs throughout Europe and the Middle East. They were at Sebring International Raceway, kind of between Orlando and Miami. That track specifically is a very, very highly used track. This is where a lot of the IndyCar teams will go to test over the winter. Number configurations of the track. So, Sebring, you can use the short track, which, basically is only a combination of a couple of corners, a long straightaway. So you can go out and do short runs without wasting a lot of time. But the track has become super bumpy. It is, it's really, really hard on equipment, which, a 24-hour race really stresses drivers and equipment to the breaking point in a lot of cases. And there's a lot of reliability issues when you run these races. It's awesome. These races are so cool. Outside of the fact that, you get to see these cars race in the day, at night, at twilight, once the lights come on, it's really interesting. There's multi-classes, so there's a big speed delta between, the GT cars and the touring cars. There's probably about a 20-second difference between the fastest laps of one class over the other. So there's lots of passing, there's lots on-track action. Trying to keep drivers, the drivers kind of have the easiest job because there's multiple, options for the teams. Most teams run with four drivers. So, you'll probably do a stint of between, 90 minutes to, 3 hours. And then you could be out of the car for 6, 8, 10 hours. So you can actually get some rest and you can sleep. The crew guys, though, most of the crew guys, they were up almost 48 hours because the day before was a test day. They didn't get their equipment till very late in the going. So they had to put cars together. They had to get them ready, run their test day, and then they went straight into the race. And the crew guys don't really get the breaks. They have to be ready to go at all times because if you've got a mechanical issue, you've got a tire issue, you've got something going on, you've got to be able to respond. So these poor guys are up, guys, gals, crew people are up for a crazy long time. And it was really awesome that one of our local drivers, Matthew Taskinen, he's been called in to drive with this AC Motorsport team. Last time was in Dubai a couple of years ago, and now get the call back to go into to Sebring. Great exposure for him. Their team won the race, so that's two races in a row that Matthew has been part of the race wins. Unfortunately, their team wasn't able to jump from second to first in the overall championship, but great springboard for him over the winter. And it sounds like they've asked him to come back and be part of the team for the 24-hour at Dubai.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. Colin, you had a little thing here about racers and non-racers, the difference between the two of them. What do you discuss? What do you mean?
Well, a day like today, I've had this thought for a long time about, what separates a race car driver from a non-race car driver. And I reached out to a number of people, some of my professional friends, some of my race, like karting counterparts, some people who cover racing, and I just wanted to see what their perspective is, because on days like today, when we started this morning, obviously the road conditions here were kind of questionable, and you get a mixed variety of reaction. Obviously the conventional wisdom is the roads are really slippery and be careful, and it's really tough to argue with that when the roads are icy. But there's kind of two different ways that people will approach that. One is like, listen, I'm going to be really scared because I don't know where the edge of control is with my car and I don't trust what I'm going to do out on the road, so I should be really careful. Racer's mindset would say, listen, I've prepared for this because I put, you know, proper equipment on my car. I've run in extreme situations and I know that I know how to drive to the conditions. So, you know, it really got us thinking about what really separates it. And you know, kind of the short version of a long story is if you want to get better or you want to get more comfortable in different weather conditions or you want to get, you know, better at driving on the street, consider getting into a race car, because once you start to learn how to control, you know, a racing vehicle at speed, which is really all we're doing, is we're bringing things to the edge of control. So you kind of live in that world. It'll definitely make you a better driver on the street. You know, the
I think we lost him.
We need to know. Yeah. How do we drive better in the snow? I was literally hanging on every word. I'm like, what? What just happened? Oh, my God. Talk about a cliffhanger. Hey.
Well, you definitely you want to be more. It was a little slick out there today for sure. And Livingston's back now. Jeez, what are you trying to be like a cliffhanger for next week?
We might be better at racing, but apparently technology escapes us. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
So what were you going to say? You just left Strutty waiting. It was very, very rare that Strutty's paying that close attention to every word that you're saying.
Tell me about it. No, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the people that I know that are involved in racing are like the safest people on the street, because when you get that adrenaline out, when you get to go and play on the racetrack, you don't feel that need to drive aggressively when you're on the street. So, you know, the racers that I know, generally speaking, not exclusively, of course, they're the best behaved people. They drive at the speed limit. They're not really, you know, too aggressive behind the wheel because they don't feel the need to prove who they are as a driver. They do that on race nights. So, yeah, I mean, just food for thought. If people are interested, you know, come out. There's a number of different, you know, race options, from what we do in go-karts and really simple, you know, four-cylinder type racing, four-stroke and two-stroke is a little bit higher performance. You know, there's drag racing, there's oval racing, there's all kinds of different things, but every single one of them will make you better and more aware when you're on the street.
Colm, have yourself a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy the weekend racing, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks a lot, guys. Look forward to it.